Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello, thank you for joining me today. This past week, I had a question in an email, and since it was a pretty good question, I thought I would talk about it in a podcast episode. The email said, "I have a question for you. In the Bible, can you give verses that prove that I will be reunited with my baby and will have that mother-daughter relationship? Because Jesus himself tells people on earth there will be no marrying. So I'm just wondering how that will work then with parents and kids. That's what I fear so much because I long for my child so much." Well, there are several passages that strongly suggest that after death and in eternity, we retain our personal identity, our memories, our relationships, our unique selves, even though some aspects of earthly life, such as marriage, change. Now, I think the clearest example is the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16, and I'm going to read it to you. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, I remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now, I want you to notice from the story that Jesus shared with us what remains true after death. Lazarus is still Lazarus. The rich man is still himself. Both are recognizable individuals. The rich man remembers his earthly life. He remembers his brothers. He has concern for them. Abraham knows who they are. Conversation takes place. Nothing in the passage suggests that they become impersonal spirits or that they lost their identity. Now, I understand this is from before Jesus died on the cross and things change spiritually when we die after that, but it's still, they are still individual people, entities. They recognize each other. They have conversations. I don't see that ending. Now, the scripture that was referred to in the email is Matthew 22:30, where Jesus says, "At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." Now, I personally think that sometimes this might be misunderstood. Let me read this in a couple of other versions. "When God raises people to life, they won't marry. One day, God will raise people up after they have died. They will become alive again. But then men and women will not marry. They will not have husbands or wives." One last translation here. "For in the rising again to life, neither shall they wed, neither shall be wedded." I think what I see is that Jesus is saying that marriage as an institution will not continue. Okay, once we rise from the dead, people won't get married. They won't be given away in marriage. That's not going to continue. I believe that relationships will be transformed, but they're not going to be erased. Let's look at this some more. Other passages that point in the same direction. How about Moses and Elijah at what is called the Mount of Transfiguration before Jesus went to the cross? In Matthew 17, 1 through 3, this is centuries after their deaths, Moses and Elijah. Moses is still Moses. Elijah is still Elijah. The disciples apparently recognize them. I don't know how, but they knew it was Moses and Elijah. And they're conversing with Jesus. Now, these men, their individual identities remain intact. David and his son, after the death of his infant son, David says in 2 Samuel 12:23, I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David expected a future reunion, I think, based on what he said. This statement only makes sense if his son would still be his son and David would still be David. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul speaks of believers, this is verses 19 and 20, Paul speaks of believers being his joy and his crown in Christ's presence. Let me read it to you. For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus that is coming? Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and our joy. To me, this says that Paul expected to know them and rejoice over them in eternity. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, the comfort of resurrection is based on our reunion. It says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Now, that right there tells me we don't grieve because we're afraid we're never going to see our loved ones again. We grieve with hope because we are going to see our loved ones again. We're going to know who they are, right? It goes on and says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Doesn't the encouragement lose a lot of its meaning? If no one recognizes anyone, we don't recognize each other. This scripture gives us hope that we're going to be reunited and we're going to know who we're being reunited with. Let's look at Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. Now, we see in this scripture that the martyrs know who they are. They remember what happened on earth. They are aware that justice has not yet come. They talk with God. Again, it looks like their personality and their memory remain. We also see that Jesus' resurrected body gives us a glimpse of our future resurrection bodies. He was recognizable. He remembered his friends. He retained his scars from the cross, from the crucifixion. Now, I don't know. Are we going to keep our scars? I don't know. Jesus kept his. He had continuity with who he had always been. Yet he was also glorified. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, that our resurrection bodies will be transformed to be like his glorious body. I just have a feeling that we're not going to have our scars. I think Jesus chose to keep his, but I think our bodies are going to be in perfection. And I guess one of the reasons I say that is, you know, with Becca having her amputation, does that mean that she's only going to have one leg in heaven? I don't think so, because heaven is a place of perfection. So my guess, there's no scriptural backing for this, but my guess is that Jesus chose to keep his scars as a remembrance, as a symbol that we can see. But I don't think we're going to have our scars. Like I said, I don't have any scriptural backing for that. That's just my thought. So what about our children? For bereaved parents on this topic, I think one of the most comforting passages is Matthew 22:32, when Jesus tells us that God says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Jesus goes on to say, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob long after their earthly deaths. We even saw that in a scripture I previously read, that Abraham was there talking to the rich man about Lazarus. And we know that even though the earthly bodies of our children are no longer alive, their spirits are still alive in a glorified body. That's my understanding. Now, I know that some of you are tormented even with a fear that your child, you don't know, is my child in heaven? I don't know. That's one thing that just really haunts you. And I have talked about that in the past, and I think the easiest thing to refer you to is episode 18, way back at the beginning when I started this podcast years ago, and it's titled, "I Am Afraid My Child Might Not Be in Heaven." I will put a link to that in the show notes, but you can also go to our website, gpshope.org, and put in the search bar heaven, and you'll find a lot of articles where I talk about our children in heaven. Let me just say, so you don't have to refer to that, just to ease your heart right now, is that I believe God made every opportunity possible for your child to receive him, including that exact second when they crossed over into death. If your child had not received the Lord, and they may have received the Lord and struggled with circumstances in life, that doesn't mean they weren't saved, but I believe God would have given the opportunity right as they crossed over to appear and say, "Do you believe me now? Do you want me now? Do you trust me now?" And your child said yes, because they heard about him, and they just, for whatever reason, fear or whatever, they had not made that final decision. And so it could have happened as they passed from this life to the next. And so I just want to take that fear from you, that you can walk in faith that God reached out and your child says yes, and that he or she is there waiting for you. Now, when I put all these passages together, I see strong biblical evidence that earthly marriage ends, but love and connection do not. We remain ourselves. We retain our identity. We keep our identity. We remember. We recognize others. We continue loving. Relationships continue, though transformed and perfected. What a wonderful and glorious day that will be, won't it? Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. This is not the end, but it's a long wait into a transition of perfection in our relationships with those we love who have gone ahead of us, including our children. I want to let you know that the weekend of October 16th, 17th, and 18th, GPS Hope will be hosting a Hope and Healing Retreat in Florida. This will be a small group of up to four couples and two moms getting together for a relaxing and meaningful time with others who get it. You'll be able to take off your mask, be yourself in your grief as we share our children together and share our journey together. So mark the dates on your calendar and watch for more information. That's October 16th, 17th, and 18th. 14th. Especially keep an eye out for it in the weekly Word of Hope emails. Now, speaking of that, I would love to invite you to receive my weekly Word of Hope email. I know how easy it is to feel isolated on this journey. Some weeks are harder than others, and sometimes we just need someone to remind us that we're not alone and that there is still hope, even in the middle of our pain. Each week in the email, I share a message of encouragement. I let you know about the current week's podcast episode, along with helpful resources and updates from GPS Hope, like the retreat coming up. My goal is not to fill your inbox with something useless. I don't send out a bunch of spam emails, but to give you just a gentle touch point of hope from someone who understands this road firsthand. If you would like a little extra encouragement delivered directly to your inbox each week, you can sign up at gpshope.org/hope. I would be honored to walk alongside you on this journey because grief can make us feel forgotten. And every week I want to remind you that you are seen, you're understood, and you are not walking this road alone. So just go to gpshope.org/hope, submit your name and the email address where you want to receive your weekly Word of Hope written just for bereavers. And I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. Grieving Parents Sharing Hope is a ministry of GPS Hope. To learn more about our books, courses, blogs, retreats, and other resources for bereaved parents, visit gpshope.org. Remembering our children together is one way we support one another as grieving parents, by honoring their birthdays each week, which I do here on the podcast. So let's go ahead with this week's birthdays that have been sent in. Elias Glass was born on June 15th and is forever 20. Andrew Gitchu was born on June 15th and is forever 48. Carrie Lee Venning Birrell was born on June 19th and is forever 25. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. It will always be a day worth remembering and celebrating. If you would like your child's birthday included during the week it happens, during the week it falls, I would be honored to do that for you, and that invitation is always open. Just fill out the needed information at gpshope.org/birthdays. We only share it once, so you are in full control. When Dave sends you an email to remind you to listen for their name, he will also send the link and remind you to sign up again if you want it shared the following year. Now, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. Don't wait until it's their birthday because I pre-record these, so go ahead and do it now. gpshope.org/birthdays. As a bereaver, I think one of the most beautiful implications about are we going to recognize our children or not is this. If David expected to go to his son, if the rich man remembered his brothers, if Moses was still Moses and Elijah was still Elijah, and Abraham is still Abraham, then there is every reason to believe that my Becca will still be Becca and I will still be me, Laura. You will be you, and your child will still be who he or she was. The relationship will not be exactly what it was here on earth, but I think it will be even better because it will be perfect. There won't be arguments or discrepancies, communication gaps. I think it's going to be even better. There is nothing in Scripture that suggests that the love, the recognition, and the knowledge of each other will disappear. In fact, the biblical picture points in the opposite direction, that in Christ we will finally know one another more fully than we ever could hear. So with that, I want to remind you to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.